to Jesus Christ. But before we get into our scripture tonight, we're going to be talking about Genesis chapter number 41 again tonight. We were there last week, and you know, we more or less just read the scripture. I didn't make any comments or anything last week. Yeah, I can't help it. It's just one of those things. When I get into the Word, I can't help it. I just have to comment a little bit. But we're going to be back in Genesis 41 tonight. We're not going to read tonight. We're going to just maybe take some application out of Genesis 41. So be much in prayer about that. Also, if you're watching us on Facebook tonight, thank you for being with us on Facebook. We really appreciate you for taking a few minutes out of your evening and spending it here with us in the Word of God. And if you have a prayer request or a praise or anything that you want to leave there in our comment section, you're willing to, or you're more than welcome to do that. Or if you need to send a message privately to our page, you're welcome to do that. And we'll do our best to be praying for your prayer request. You know, I don't think I've ever said the sentence that I just said, that if you want to leave a praise there too, you're more than welcome to do that. I've run into a couple in the past couple of weeks that have told me about salvation and them receiving Jesus Christ as their Savior. Man, we don't never need to quit thanking God and praising God that He's still saving sinners. Man, that's one thing that can keep us going, if nothing else does, is knowing that our loved ones and our friends and our family who are lost, that they still have an opportunity because Jesus is still saving old sinners. So I just want to praise the Lord for that. But you're welcome to leave those there in the comment section or on our page. And if you're here in body tonight, at the end of service, we'll spend a few minutes with prayer request and praise at that time. If you will, pray with me and pray for me as we get ready to get back into Genesis chapter number 41. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for all your many blessings. We thank you for the things that you've done for us today, God, that we don't even know that you've done. Those blessings that you've done that we take for granted, God, we want to ask for forgiveness. And also, God, we pray that you'll help us to pause in the middle of everything that's going on in our lives, our busy lives, our lives that are just changing at every moment, God, that are seem so fluid right now. God, I pray that you'll help us to always to acknowledge you and your work in our life. God, as we get into your word tonight, we pray that you'll take your word and speak to our hearts. God, we pray that we'll just let everything else go out of our minds for a few minutes tonight and let you speak to us. May we gain strength tonight from being together with other Christians. May we gain strength from your word that we may go out into the world tomorrow and be a better light than we were today. God, for the ones watching on Facebook tonight, thank you. I pray that you'll be with them wherever they're at. Give them strength, God. God, I pray most of all for our lost loved ones, our family and our friends that may not know you. God, I pray that you'll give them another opportunity to accept you as their Savior, God, and help us that we'll be more vigilant to point others to Jesus Christ. We thank you and we praise you for all that you do, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Genesis chapter number 41. Again, last week we read these verses of Scripture. I think there's about 50-some verses here that we read last week, 57 of them, as a matter of fact. And we read this Scripture, made a few comments last week. And now this week, instead of actually looking at the story and what's actually happening in Genesis chapter number 41, maybe we are going to take a little application out of Genesis 41 tonight. And it's amazing how God's Word can speak to you in different ways. And you can actually read what happens here in Genesis 41, and God can speak to your heart. And then God can show you the circumstances that are taking place here in Genesis 41, and also show you some things that maybe that I could apply to my life here in 2021, many, many years after this Scripture has been written and this event had taken place, that we can find some application in our lives. But first of all, just in case you missed last Wednesday night, we know that in Genesis chapter number 41, that Pharaoh had a couple of dreams. And when he had these two dreams, that his magicians and the people around him tried to interpret the dreams, and nobody could come up with the interpretation. And then all of a sudden, the butler remembers that Joseph is in prison and that Joseph had interpreted his dream. And he reminds Pharaoh, or tells Pharaoh, bring Joseph up out of prison and maybe he can interpret your dreams. Now the two dreams, as you can remember, was about seven cows, seven good, healthy, fat cows that come up out of a river. And as they were standing there, there was also seven skinny, sickly cows that come up out of the river. And those seven skinny, sickly cows ate the seven fat, healthy cows. And then you also remember that in the second dream, there were seven good ears of corn that came up. And there were also seven thin ears of corn, and those seven thin ears of corn devoured the seven good ears of corn. And the interpretation of the dream, of course, was that when Joseph came and talked to Pharaoh, was that there was going to be seven really good, plentiful years that was going to be followed by 7 very lean years, 7 years of famine, 7 years that they were going to struggle there in the land of Egypt. So following this dream, Joseph was set up. If you remember, he told Pharaoh, he said, you need to choose someone that can take care of everything, and we can take the 7 good years that there's going to be plenty, and we can store back for the 7 lean years that are coming. And as Pharaoh looked at him, he says, well, you're the man. So Joseph is set up, and we know that this is all part of God's plan to fulfill the vision and the dreams that he had given Joseph way back at home. We can't get into all of that again, but we know that that God's plan is coming into place. And even though that Joseph's road was tough and Joseph's road was full of trouble and that Joseph's road maybe was not the road that any of us would choose for ourselves, that God used Joseph's road and the life that he lived in order to fulfill the plan that he had for Joseph. So now we know that Egypt is getting ready to experience these 7 years of plenty, then 7 years of famine, or 7 lean years. And we know that Joseph is preparing for that, and that Joseph has been set up by Pharaoh to say, okay, now that we know that these 7 years of lean times are coming, we're going to store up and we're going to have some sustain us during the 7 years of lean times. Sorry, I lost my vocabulary completely there for a moment. So as we look at this story in Genesis chapter number 41 and we see what happened, when I read this and when I read it a couple of weeks ago and began to study here in Genesis chapter number 41, I couldn't help but think for myself, wouldn't it be nice if our life come with warning labels like Joseph had here? Wouldn't it be nice that if you could get up in the morning and whatever dream that you had during the night, or maybe just the thought that you had, and God was showing you something in your life? Now, I do believe that God shows us stuff, and I believe that God speaks to us, and I believe that His Holy Spirit leads us and guides us and directs our life. But I'm sorry, I don't go to bed every night and think, you know what, God's going to give me a vision of what's going to happen tomorrow so that I'll be ready for tomorrow. It just doesn't seem like it happens like that in my life. If it happens like that for you, come talk to me, because I want to know what you're doing and I want to get on that same program. But here Joseph is. He has the warning label for the next 14 years for Pharaoh. He's able to come out and tell Pharaoh what's going to happen for the next 14 years. And I think sometimes that it would be nice if we had that kind of knowledge in our life of what is going to happen in our lives so that we could prepare. How many times have you thought in your life that if I had only known that this was going to happen, I would have done things differently? How many times have you said, well, if I had known then what I know now, that I would have made different choices. I would have made different plans. I would have done things differently. How many of you within the last year, the last 2 years, something has taken place in your life, and you can look back and say, man, if I had known that this was going to happen, I would have done A, B, and C differently and seen if I could have changed the circumstances that my life is in right now. Anybody thought that? Absolutely. There's been small things in my life. There have been cars that I had trouble with. Can't stand still, Lance. I'm sorry. Lance is up there by himself tonight. Let's take something simple. There have been vehicles in my lifetime that I have owned that if I had known that they were going to do what they did, I would have never owned them whatsoever. There were some that Autumn and I, we were just bound and determined to purchase these vehicles, and man, we drove home happy. The payment book kept coming, and the vehicle tore up, and the payment book kept coming, and I'd give anything to be rid of that vehicle. And that's something small in our lives. But there are also some things that I won't get into in my life, because I wouldn't get into your personal story either. But there's some things that's happened in my life, whether it be spiritually or in my family or whatever, that if I had known at that point in time how things were going to turn out now, I would have done some things differently. I would have made some different choices. And man, I look at this and I say, man, this is great. Joseph knows what's going to happen for the next 14 years, and he's able to prepare, and he's able to get ready, and he's able to tell Pharaoh, we need to pack it up. We need to get ready, because 7 years of lean, 7 years of famine is coming along, and we need to be ready for that. But you know, there are some things in our lives. We can look and we can say, well, none of us have that crystal ball. None of us have those dreams at night, and God reveals something to us and we know what's going to happen tomorrow. We can say, well, it would be nice to be. But you know that there are some things that God has given us in His Word that tells us what is going to take place in our lives. And He tells us, look, don't be astonished, don't be worried, don't be concerned, don't be amazed when this happens. And He has given it to us in His Word, and that's better than any dream you could ever have. That's better than any message that I could ever deliver. That's better than any crystal ball you could ever own. If God's Word says it, you can mark her down, it's going to happen. And God has told us some stuff in His Word. Like, you know, He gave Joseph the interpretation of this dream, and Joseph knew what was going to happen in the future. Well, there's some things that is going to take place in our life that God has given us those warning labels. But you know, what good would it have been for Joseph to know what was going to happen in the next 14 years? What good would it have been if he went and told Pharaoh, look, this is what's going to happen. We're going to have 7 good years followed by 7 years of famine. What good would it have been if Pharaoh said, it'll be all right. It'll be okay. Y'all just keep doing what you're doing. I don't know if Joseph knows what he's talking about or not. Or if he just said, you know what, that's going to take a lot of work. We're really going to have to work a lot, and we're going to have to ask a lot if we're going to be able to store up for 7 years of famine. What if Pharaoh just said, it'll be okay? But you know what? I'm afraid a lot of times with what the things that God has told us in His Word that is going to happen in our lives, we look at it and go, may happen, may not. So let me give you a few of them tonight. Let me just give you some things that's come to me really quickly. I'm sure if you dig in God's Word, you can find more than what I'm going to give you tonight. First and foremost, let's go most obvious. Most obvious thing that God has told us in His Word that is absolutely going to happen in our lives, and He says, you have a way to get ready for that. First of all, what do you think? Death? Most obvious thing that I could think of is death. And we know that in Hebrews chapter number 9, verse number 27, the Bible tells us, for as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So that we know, every single one of us know that sometime in our life we're going to die. And you say, well, you keep saying that God may rapture the church. Okay, if God doesn't rapture the church, you're going to die. Absolutely going to happen. And God told us in His Word that it is going to happen, but I'm afraid that so many of us, we don't even take that very seriously. Because you may look and you may say, well, preacher, I've made preparation in my life. I have come to the place that I know that I know that I know that I'm saved, that I have asked Jesus Christ to come into my life, and I am prepared for death. I'm ready to leave this world. If I don't wake up in the morning, it's going to be okay because I know that I'm going to be in the presence of God. And you may be able to say that in your life. But what about the people around you? What about your family and your friends? What about my coworkers that I see day in and day out? I know without a shadow of a doubt that the Bible says that death is coming our way, and we have an opportunity to get prepared for that in our lives. What have we done with that? I'm afraid that so many times that I have said, it might happen, it might not. And you say, well, preacher, you say that you got saved when you were 7 years old. I absolutely did. But you know what? I'm not going to say that I live today like it could have been my last day. I'm not going to say that the last 4 days that I've lived here on this earth, that I've lived like I believe that death really could come in my life. You know what I think? If I knew that tomorrow, if I had the warning that tomorrow was my last day on the face of this earth, I believe I'd go up my life insurance for Autumn, for one thing. I'd get her set up. If I knew that tomorrow was my last day, I might go ride a bull. That's always been a dream of mine to ride a bull. I know that sounds crazy, but that's always been on my bucket list. That bucket's got a hole in it. That's not going to happen. But there's been some things. If I knew that tomorrow was my last day, if I really believe that it could be, I believe there's some things that I would do different in my life. So I think sometimes that even I go, it's appointed unto men once to die, and that after this, the judgment. I think that sometimes we look at that and go, well, it could happen, but probably not. It's probably not going to happen. So you know what? I get up in the mornings, and the first thing I do is I throw my clothes on, I grab my stuff for work, and I head to work, and I begin to process the day's events. And I begin to think about, well, this has got to happen today, and this is going to happen today, to where if I really thought tomorrow was my last day, if I really thought that tomorrow that I would leave this earth here, I believe that I might get up in the morning and say, God, I want to spend just a few minutes with you this morning. God, I want you to speak to my heart. God, I want you to speak to my mind. I want you to help me because I don't know what I'm going to face today, God, and you do know what I'm going to face. And God, I know that after a while sometime I'm going to leave this place. Listen, I know that when Jesus Christ forgave me of my sins at the age of 7, that he washed all of my sins away, that he forgave me of all of my sins. However, I let things come into my life that shouldn't be there, that hinders my relationship with him. And if I really thought that tomorrow I could die, and that by tomorrow evening that I might stand before Jesus Christ, you know, there probably would be a time that I'd say, God, please help me. God, please forgive me for the things that I know that's in my life. See, there are things sometimes that comes by accident. There's things that the devil tempts us, and we fall into temptation. We go along, and just because we're so influenced by this world, things come along in our life that shouldn't be there, that hinders our Christian relationship. But if we'll be real honest, there's times that sin comes in our life because we chose sin to come into our life. And if I really thought that tomorrow was my appointed day, if I really thought that warning label might really take place tomorrow, and I didn't have that attitude toward it, I might get up and say, God, forgive me for my sin. God, help me to truly repent and turn away. I want to draw close to you. When I stand before you here in just a little while, I want my life to be as perfect as it possibly can be. God, I want my relationship to be as close to you as it perfectly can be. But see, I don't heed the warning that God has given us in our life. We also know, as the Bible tells us with the warning label, that as we look, we have been warned of two places that we can spend eternity. First of all, we know that we're going to die. Second of all, we know that there's two places that we can spend eternity. And we are told of heaven and hell, and we are told of how to make the choice between heaven and hell. Aren't you glad that it's not by your works, or not by how much you're worth financially, or not because who you are, but it's all because of Jesus Christ that you can choose heaven tonight? I'm glad of that tonight. And we know, see, and that's just a couple of real obvious things, first of all, that I know that God has given us warning labels in our life. We know that we're going to die. We know that we're going to spend eternity somewhere. Those are two the first obvious things that come to my mind as I was studying this. But let's look at some other things in our lives. We also know, because the Bible tells us in his word, that God tells us in his word, that there is a constant battle between our flesh and our spirit as we walk here on this earth. God has told us, Galatians chapter number 6, verse number 8, for he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the spirit shall of the spirit reap life everlasting. Galatians chapter number 5, verse number 16, this I say then, walk in the spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We know that every single day that there is going to be a battle between our flesh and our spirit. We know that our spirit is willing to live in the way that God wants us to live. We know that our spirit desires that close relationship with God. Since the day that I got saved, I know that the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of me, that he pulls me and that he attracts me and that he tries to lead me to a life that is pleasing unto God. But I also know that my flesh is very powerful. I know that sin is very powerful and that attraction that my flesh has. But God has given us a warning label in his word that says, look, you are going to battle your flesh and your spirit. You are going to enter into this. And we know that that battle sometimes is overwhelming. We know that sometimes that battle gets to where we yield to the one and sometimes we yield to the other. But God has given us this warning label. And I believe that if I really took this warning label serious, if I took it as serious as Pharaoh did when he set Joseph up and he said, okay, Joseph, you've said it. I believe it. So I'm going to set you up and you prepare us for it. You know, if I believed God's word, like I say that I believe God's word, that my flesh and my spirit are going to battle, you know what I think I would do? I think I would spend more time feeding my spirit so that my spirit is stronger and that I'm able to overcome my flesh more often. I believe if I really thought and believed what God's word says about there being a constant battle between my flesh and my spirit, that I would take initiative in my spiritual life and say, you know what, I know that tomorrow as I get up and I go on my journey to work, as I know as life comes at me tomorrow, that there's going to be something where my flesh tries to pull me in a direction that I don't need to go, that my flesh tries to attract me to an area that I don't need to be in. So you know what I'm going to do tonight? I'm going to spend some time and I'm going to feed my spirit and I'm going to spend some time exercising my spirit. I didn't, not like casting out. I don't mean like that. But I'm talking about saying, God, please strengthen my spirit. God, please help my faith. God, please help me so that tomorrow when my spirit and my flesh battle, that my spirit is strong enough, that my faith is strong enough, that my trust is strong enough, that I can overcome any battle that I have against my flesh tomorrow. See, we look at Joseph and we say, man, it's so nice that he had that warning. God's told us, but we don't heed. I'll back up. God's told me, but I don't heed. I look and I say, well, you know what? My flesh and my spirit, they're going to battle. It's just one of them things. God's told us all about it in his word, and we know what's going to happen. It'll be all right. And I live my spiritual life almost in denial of knowing that my flesh and my spirit are going to battle tomorrow, of knowing that temptation is coming my way when God has given us the warning labels in our lives. Another thing that God has told us, obviously, in his word. You can look in God's word, and these are not rocket science. Hey, if I'm coming out with it, it didn't take a real smart fella to find these. And when you look in God's word, and not only do we know that we have a battle of our flesh and our spirit together, but we also know in God's word that Satan is seeking you out to attack you and to destroy you. And he's seeking me out to attack me and to destroy me. And we look sometimes and we go, well, I just can't believe the battle that I'm having with Satan. Or I don't believe the battle that I'm having with my flesh. Why not? God told us. Just as plain as Joseph sitting there talking to Pharaoh and saying, Pharaoh, this is what's going to happen. And Pharaoh's saying, now let's prepare for it. Just as plain as that conversation was, you can find in God's word that Satan is going to attack us. 1 Peter chapter number 5, verse number 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Well, preacher, I thought when I got saved, I wouldn't have to battle the devil anymore. That's when the fight really got started, isn't it? I mean, before that, you belonged to him. Yeah, he'd try to keep you blinded. He'd try to keep you fooled. He'd try to keep you, you know, working away from God. But then when you stopped and you said, you know what, I need God in my life. And you said, God, I want you to forgive me of my sins. I want you to take ownership of my life. God, I want to be yours. That's when Satan got mad at you. And now Satan is attacking you. And now Satan attacks me. And the Bible says that it's going to happen. So you don't need some preacher to stand up here and tell you that it's going to happen. I'm not the person that's warning you. God has warned us all in his word that it is going to happen. Just as Pharaoh had the visions, so do we have the scripture that gives us the warnings. Be sober. Be vigilant. I mean, you gotta be on it all the time. There's no time for breaks. There's no time. I used to pick at my son. I know y'all can't believe that I would ever pick at Silas. But Silas, if he had the work ethic that my two daughters do, Silas probably could have played sports at the next level. And I think that my daughters eventually, you know, they've got the work ethic and they got the athletic ability, so we'll see what happens in their lives. But Silas didn't have that work ethic. Silas was naturally athletic. He had some ability, just natural ability. And he would do enough to get by, but he didn't do the extra. And if he would have really just piled in there and did the extra, I believe that he could have played ball at the next level. I don't know what that would have been, but anyway, maybe that's just dad talking. But and when I look at Silas and those times when I was really wanting him to put in that effort, to be vigilant, to go out there and, you know what, I'm not going to quit. He'd be sitting there playing his PlayStation. And he's laid back and he's just playing his PlayStation and eating chips and drinking pop and doing all his thing. And I'd go in there and say, bud, if you want to go Division I playing something, I hope they have a PlayStation team at their schools. Only thing I can tell you. Because you're never going to make it in anything else. He wasn't very vigilant. And you know what? Our Christian life, sometimes we take it like Silas did. God saved us. And we take the blessing that God give us in salvation. And we sit back and we just relax and eat our potato chips and drink our pop and play our PlayStation. We're not very vigilant with it. And look what he says right here. He says, be sober, be vigilant. Now, you know those days when it feels like you're walking with God. I know not every day feels like it. Maybe it does for you, but it doesn't for me. But those days when it really feels like you're in tune with God, When you want to talk about the Lord, when you want to hear about the Lord, and it feels like you're in tune with God, that feels good to your spirit, doesn't it? You know what? We could have more days like that if we were more vigilant. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Luke chapter number 22, verse number 31. Look what the Lord said to Peter. He said, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Look, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, your soul was off limits. Satan can't have your soul. But if he can destroy your testimony, if he can destroy your joy and your peace that you have, he will absolutely do his best to do that. He's after you. Well, preacher, I wish I'd had the warning. We do have the warning. Are we heeding to it? I got to move on. You will have trouble. John chapter number 16, verse number 33. These things have I spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Job chapter number 14, verse number 1. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Well, preacher, I never knew that I was going to have so much trouble in this world. I didn't know that it was going to be so hard to live a Christian life. I really thought that things would really smooth up in my life once I come to know Jesus Christ. Well, listen, things might not have smoothed up, but you can guarantee yourself this on the authority of God's word. Not because, again, that I'm saying it, but because God's word says it. Anything that you come against now, you don't have to go against by yourself. And look, he said, you're going to have tribulation. He said, but be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. He said, in this world, you're going to have trouble, you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. See, we need to be a little more, we have these warnings. We need to be a little more vigilant. We need to be a little more prepared. What are you doing to prepare your spiritual life every single day? You know what? I believe the reason that many, many Christians that used to be strong in their walk, that used to be the ones that were leading others, whether it be other Christians and they were leading them in their spiritual walk, or whether it be lost people that they were leading to Christ. And now you look and they have kind of fell backwards. Backslidden. There you go. That's the word we will use. And they get to a place where they're not walking with God. Their faith is, the Bible talks about one place where your faith becomes shipwrecked. You know, and they've kind of taken a step back. You want to know why I think that happens? Is because we quit preparing according to the warnings that God has given us. Let me give you an example. So we know that trouble's coming. We know that, hey, let's go back to the example. Did anybody watch a sermon Sunday morning? It felt weird preaching from my table. Does anybody remember what we preached about Sunday morning? Say it. Job. All right. I'm thankful somebody remembered I preached what Sunday morning. It was hard to sit there at my table and preach. I just want to tell you that. I thought I was going to have to get up and preach. So Sunday morning we talked about Job. And we talked about how in verse 1 that the Bible tells us that Job was a perfect and upright man that feared God and eschewed evil. And then all this trouble come in his life. So what I think happens in our lives a lot of times, and the reason that you see Christians go from being on fire and leading others to in that state where none of us want to be. The reason you see that is because if you look at Job and you see that he was a perfect and upright man that feared the Lord and eschewed evil, he was already doing that before trouble came his way. You know what happens, I think, a lot of times in our lives? When things are going good, we relax. We don't concentrate on our walk with Christ. We don't study and pray like we should. And I'm talking about me. I'm not talking about you. But we get to the place that, you know, everything's going pretty good. And, man, this life's good. And we find ourselves relaxing with our relationship with Christ. We find ourselves getting to a place that, you know what, it's going to be okay. And everything's good. And the songbirds are singing. And the grass is green. And the sky's blue. And, man, it's just wonderful how good God's blessed us. And all those things are true. But sometimes when we get in that shape, we get in that circumstance, when we quit focusing and quit paying attention to the warnings that God gives us, then all of a sudden, everything changes and trouble comes and you're not prepared. That's just like the 7 years of plenty. that Joseph experienced in Egypt. They could have just said, boy, everything's good. The grass is green. The birds are singing. We got plenty. This is wonderful. Y'all just eat, drink, be merry. It's great time. And they could have not prepared. And then when that 7 lean years came, they wouldn't have had enough to get through. And the whole point of the application that I wanted to talk about tonight is I know that none of us know what's going to happen in our future. We may have the brightest future coming our way that we've never experienced yet. And then there might be trouble coming our way. We don't know. But what I'm going to say is this. God has given us some warnings in His Word. First about death, second about our eternity, and then about trouble, and then about Satan coming after us. Those warnings are there. And it is very important that no matter where you're at in your life right now, that you dig in and you get grounded fundamentally in God's Word. You get grounded fundamentally in your faith. You get to a place that your faith cannot be shaken. You get to a place to where you're strong in the Lord, where you're at right now. Because that's what Job did. He was already in that circumstance. And then when trouble come, just as we read Sunday morning, he was able to fall down and worship. He was able to say that he came into this world naked and he's going to leave naked. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But what happens to us is we have to get in panic mode when bad things happen, and then we have to start seeking God. And then we have to start saying, God, I need to be more fundamentally sound in my faith. I need to be more fundamentally sound in my doctrine. I need to be more fundamentally sound and foundationally strong so that when I'm in the middle of something, God, I need help. Well, right now is when we need to concentrate on being fundamentally sound, foundationally strong in our spiritual walk with Christ. So that when Satan attacks and trouble comes, that it doesn't destroy us, that it doesn't tear us down. God's told us it's going to happen. There's trouble, there's trials, Satan's going to attack. There's a battle between our flesh and our spirit. So prepare for it now, and you'll find yourself in Joseph's shoes. When the 7 years of famine come, there was plenty, not only for him and the people of Egypt, but there was also plenty for them to sell and share with others. See, fact of the matter is, even after preaching this message tonight, that many of us won't change our habits. Many of us won't change what we're doing, and it'll just be, okay, yeah, preacher sent a message, and he got up there and talked way too long. And I'm going to go home and get some supper now, and we won't change anything of what we're doing. So when I don't change what I'm doing, what I need you to do is to be fundamentally strong enough, foundationally strong enough to help me when I go through it. To pick me up and say, preacher, come on. You got to be strong. You knew it was coming. You knew Satan was going to attack. You knew that your flesh and your spirit were going to battle. You knew all of these things. Preacher, come on. Get up and let's go on for God. Get fundamentally sound, foundationally strong. Get your relationship right with God so that when these things come along, we can be strong, and we can be prepared for what God's told us is coming. I hope I didn't bore you plumb out of your mind tonight. I hope it's something that you can take. I mean, when I read this application and out of Genesis chapter number 41, it spoke to me very strongly. Okay, we'll take one quick turn right here, and we'll be done. How many people do you know still prepping? They're still buying up stuff. Y'all, anybody in here prepping? Just a little bit? Too ashamed to admit it? Okay, I'll admit it. We don't know what's going to happen. I better do this and I better do that. Why wouldn't we do that spiritually? God, help me to be ready for anything that comes. God, help me be ready when the devil comes and he attacks me and things may take a downturn in my life, that I'm still standing strong for God's glory. God, help me with that. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for all that you do. God, help us to mature as Christians. God, help us to become fundamentally sound and foundationally strong so that when the devil comes against us, that when our flesh and our spirit battle, that when trouble comes our way, God, that we're not standing there going, oh no, what are we going to do? But we're already strong enough spiritually to know where our help comes from, to know where our strength is, to know where to look, God, and that we don't let our faith become a shipwreck, that we don't get to the place that we say, God, where'd you go? But that we know because of what we've already been practicing that you've got us, that you're in control, and that you're going to hold us and provide for us all the way through any trouble that we ever have. God, we thank you and we praise you most of all for the provision of salvation through Jesus Christ. And it's his name we pray. Amen.